This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. San Francisco. Bloomberg reporting within these last days. San Francisco's Salesforce Tower opened almost 5 years ago as a monument to the region's tech-driven economy. It symbolized a boom for the city's downtown. On a recent afternoon, writes Bloomberg, just a smattering of people walked the park's trails, some of them tech workers wearing badges and company-branded clothing. Nearby restaurants were open, but without the lines that once snaked out the door. This is Salesforce, a dominant story in the tech bubble of the last years and a leader in recovery after the pandemic lifted. However, I welcome Chris Riegel. This is the Scholar Report. Chris is the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space. Chris, I start with Salesforce because it's not social media. It's not depending on the whims of the public. It's business to business. And you recognize that as the fundamentals for the recovery. And now this idea that the Salesforce Tower is smattering of people. Do you see this as a leading indicator? Did Salesforce overexpand? Hardly. It has a reputation of being quite cautious in its outlook. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think that Salesforce is dealing with what many businesses are dealing with now, which is such a rapid change in the economy and in the way business is done moving forward with COVID, with work from home. Is it true that many of these companies had overstaffed during the peak of the pandemic when you had trouble finding people? Yes, quite likely. Now you're seeing a very, very rapid deceleration in many B2B categories and in the economy in general. So you have the challenge of, in many large city urban cores, people not coming back to the office for a myriad of reasons in the economic waves around that, and how many people will work from home or work remote permanently into the future will reorganize how many downtowns work.
Yes, the streets of San Francisco, always an attractive frame for a story, but I find in Bloomberg this story is growing. This is Bloomberg Europe. Google's parent Alphabet, Facebook parent Meta, and enterprise software giant Salesforce are among the U.S. technology groups seeking to abandon leased office space in London and Dublin. So is the phenomena spreading, Chris? Those are cities quite different presentation than San Francisco. They're major bank cities. Is what we're witnessing in San Francisco a harbinger of where we're headed?
What you're seeing is a pullback in cities that have the common characteristic of all being very expensive to operate in. You have two things going on in the Salesforce environment. It's B2B principally. In the Amazon or Google or Facebook or other, that's the advertising recession that's going on as CPGs are pulling back very heavily from advertising. So you see kind of a twofold threat, twofold issue there. But in all cases, companies are looking at their office space saying, do we need the same amount of space? Will people continue to work remote? And what can we do to streamline that business? I believe in January of 2023, you're going to see a lot of announcements, both of layoffs and downsizings, whether that be tech or even within the past 24 hours, Tyson Foods making public that they're downsizing and moving a lot of people out of Chicago or higher end environments back to Arkansas.
It's not only the tech companies. It's what is attached to tech companies' office space is the revenues for the cities, the municipalities, and all of the services that attend to the large concentration of well-to-do people. According to the Bloomberg reporting, office values in London and Dublin are tumbling because of rising interest rates, an increasingly bleak economic outlook, and increased home working. How much of the work from home is driving this? Because that's not likely to change in future when there's a recovery for the economy.
The challenge from work from home is pretty significant to these businesses where more and more people are demanding work from home or wish to work from home. So that's forcing them to reevaluate their space needs and downsizing as they're trying to rationalize the very high costs of that space. But secondarily, I think it could boomerang back on that employee population, which is if your workers are remote, do you need them in San Francisco in the Bay Area or are Mumbai or other areas of outsource just as appealing? So it may have an adverse effect on overall employment because that remote worker could be in a much lower cost center, a much lower country.
we go to China, because the report was that once COVID zero policies were lifted, the people of the large cities, the high-end workers, were returning to their offices and their lives, except that is not what we're seeing in these last days. Chris, there was a story in Bloomberg several days past that Beijing was being swept by the pandemic. Omicron, Delta, we're not sure. But in any event, there was a striking photograph of what appeared to be a shopping center in Beijing, empty of human beings. However, there was also the report that Beijing is starting to recover. Few people are out in the street, but now I hear it's the hospitals where we have to look for what's happening. And that video has appeared showing people lying still in the corridors of emergency rooms in hospitals all across the nation. The one here was in Shanghai. These are pictures just as scary as we first saw out of Wuhan in the early days of the virus. People lying on gurneys covered by a sheet, suggesting that they'd passed away. Do you hear stories from your colleagues in China of the hospitals being overwhelmed and people being left in corridors to die?
Yes, John. So at the beginning of the pandemic, back in early 20, there was a surge in very significant challenges and deaths in China. After that initial surge, when the Chinese locked down, they were able to tamp that down. But much of that also became political to prevent protests on economic problems, political problems, et cetera. And it's been that way much of the last 2.5 years. You now have a real surge of the virus in China, and you're seeing even in propaganda mouthpieces of the CCP, like the South China Morning Post, more and more articles about the surge, more and more articles about Chinese nationals around the world shipping drugs in to help family members. It's very real, and that will translate to the U.S. interests in Q1 of Q2, anticipate noticeable supply chain disruptions because of this real surge that's going on now.
In other words, we were told that China was going back to work. It did go back to work, and now China is hesitating. You mentioned supply chain. Are the factories emptying the factory floors? Remember those reports about people sleeping at the factories to maintain their production level? Is that now not happening?
You're seeing something that's very unusual that's starting, and we're seeing reports of this throughout the country. It's very common that the Chinese factory workers go home for Chinese New Year, which starts January 22nd. Normally, they would leave to go home the 16th, 18th of January for that full week vacation. You're seeing people leaving factories now. You're seeing factories decline in output and having more output problems because workers are leaving. I believe that is an economic reason as well as a fear reason of not wanting to be trapped in a coastal city due to a COVID lockdown when you should be home for the new year. So it's very dicey at the moment.
It's 3 years, Chris, since you first alerted me to something strange happening in China. 3 years. We exchanged correspondence the winter of 20. Since then, the history is yet to be written, but we've all lived through it. Here we are 3 years later, and China is being swept by the same pandemic. You mentioned in the end of 21, when we had the very good vaccines and people were feeling optimistic about the future, you mentioned a possible recovery in 23. Do you believe we should move that timeline now, Chris?
I believe you have to look at two different recovery paths, one viral, the second economic. On the viral side, it feels like increasingly this is moving from pandemic to endemic, and it's just something that we're going to live with, and the governments now know how to manage that generally. But the economic damage through 2023, 2024 is going to start to really kick in for all the costs that were incurred during the pandemic, and I would anticipate that we've got at least two more years minimally of economic turmoil that are directly attributable to the pandemic.
And the recession upon us. Do you concur from what you're seeing coast to coast and then in Europe as well, that the recession is here and that the soft landing is not readily visible? What is your observation?
100%. I think that when you're into January, when you see the retail numbers from Christmas, there will be unrefutable evidence that we're in for a hard landing, and 2023 is going to be a difficult year.
Now, Chris and I corresponded 3 years ago now about the virus. I just want to add this note. To my information, for 3 years, the origin of the virus has not been solved. That doesn't seem a dramatic thing to say. It was politically tender for some time, but no longer tender. Distinguished publications like Vanity Fair have lengthy pieces coming to the same observation. It is not solved. And Chris, for your information, in China and around China, around the world, not solved. Is that still the case for you?
That's correct. Lots of rumor, but very little fact.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is the Scala Report at the end of 2022, getting ready for a challenging 23. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.